Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and once again, I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on the broadcast. Today is Monday, August 2nd, 2021. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I want to talk about freedom. Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran is the subtitle of my program, and it's all about the freedom of the Internet, the freedom of speaking out, the freedom of believing in Iran that's oppressed on a daily basis. About 3 years ago, my dear Iranian friend Manoush Bakhtiari and I wrote a book together called Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, and I kind of served as the contributing editor. And on page 5 of this book, I wrote as a preface, in the movie Braveheart, there is an incredibly emotional execution scene where William Wallace, the famous Scottish freedom fighter, which is played at that time by Mel Gibson, he's being tortured before a crowd of onlookers. It's a very famous scene. The executioner taunts and begs Wallace to, quote, submit to the King of England. Beg for mercy. Tired and exasperated, Wallace gazes up at the executioner and adamantly refuses and instead gives a death cry toward the audience yelling, freedom! Well, you know what happens next. He's beheaded. Freedom. Freedom is at the core of who we are as human beings. We fight. We struggle, we speak out for the right to be free. Another famous person of history, Patrick Henry, a statesman and promoter of the American Revolution, of course, this famous phrase we've heard before, he proclaimed, give me liberty or give me death. That's just how important this seven-letter word is to our existence. I want to read to you a very important story this morning. And it comes from the Center for Human Rights in Iran. This is very recent, and I'm going to read the article because it's very timely. I can't improve on it. And so I want to read the article as it's written here from the Center for Human Rights in Iran. It's all about government oppression, government control. So this is from July 30th, and here is what's happening with the Internet crisis in Iran. In a bid to sidestep public scrutiny of a contentious new bill that would give Iran's security agencies near total control over the internet use inside the country, the Iranian parliament has voted to refer the bill to an internal committee that has the power to pass legislation without full parliamentary review. How interesting, how convenient. Quote, this bill is simply another weapon that the Iranian authorities will wield against the people of Iran, blocking internet access during protests and other events when safe access to information and communication is vital. And that is according to Hadi Gahami. He's the executive director of the Center for Human Rights in Iran, or CHRI. He goes on to say, by furiously working to prevent Iranians from communicating with one another and engaging with the outside world through the internet, the authorities are showing themselves to be terrified of their own people. And that's exactly true. The government doesn't want the world to know exactly what's going on in Iran. They shut down the internet last November 2019, during the uprising, so they could systematically murder 1,500 protesters. They've currently been shutting down the internet during the water shortage crisis, and now they want total control. Here's what the bill is going to do. It's going to further restrict an already heavily censored and monitored internet in Iran. It follows the government shutdown of the internet after protests over water shortages, which erupted back in July 15th in the Khuzestan province. And that protest quickly evolved into anti-state demonstrations in other cities, which were violently suppressed by security forces. So soon as the protests grew, the government did what they always did. They shut down the internet. Now, initially scheduled for parliamentary discussion on July 26th, a review of the controversial Bill for the Protection of the Rights of Cyberspace Users, that's what it's called, was suspended as the country roiled with protest, only to be referred to the Internal Parliamentary Committee back on July 28th. Now, just some facts here. According to Article 85 of Iran's constitution, Parliament can delegate legislative power to its own committees whenever necessary, thus sidestepping the deliberation process that could hamper the bill's progress. Once approved by the Guardian Council, the bill would be enforced throughout the country for a test period. Basically, security agencies are going to want to assume control of internet access in Iran. The bill imposes stricter limits on internet usage. As if it isn't bad enough, it's going to impose stricter limits. It allows state security agencies to surveil citizens more easily, more surveillance, and severely limits the use of popular foreign apps and online services. That's Google, that's WhatsApp, that's Telegram, that's all of these services. Article 9 of the bill calls for a task force comprised of military and intelligence agencies. Now they're going to control internet access in the country. Chaired by the head of the National Center for Cyberspace, which was established by the Supreme Leader and composed of representatives from the Armed Forces General Headquarters, Revolutionary Guard Intelligence Organization, Ministry of Intelligence, Ministry of Communications, Passive Defense Organization, and the Judiciary. And the list goes on. The bill aims to allow these groups to make necessary decisions on the security of communications and information, as well as manage the country's internal and external traffic through secure border gateways. Can I translate? I want Iranians talking to the Western world about what's happening in Iran. It embarrasses the government. It frustrates the government. It remove some of the tentacles of their control. So they're going to do everything they can now to assume total control. Article 12 of this bill further restricts access. It actually keeps the sale of VPN. Now, the Iranians use something called VPN to unfilter Facebook and other sites. If they have access to virtual prison network, they can unfilter. Well, this bill is going to do everything it can to restrict the sale of VPN in Iran. So that's Article 33, prohibiting the sale of VPNs. Now, the proposed legislation reflects the central role of the internet in the Iranian authorities' efforts to suppress dissent and control the citizenry of Iran. It sharply highlights the need to ensure that the people of Iran have access to the tools and services they need to circumvent the state's growing online censorship and surveillance capacities. Now, digital and human rights organizations have persistently requested that the U.S. government, in concert with private tech firms, facilitate Iranians' access to the products they need by updating, expanding, and clarifying exemptions for communication products and encouraging companies to sell them to the people of Iran. They need access. Now, this bill, of course, violates the right to information, but it also hampers business, science, education, and medicine. So it's controlling businesses in Iran. Well, this would be very counterproductive to an already stagnated economy under the oppression of sanctions. It would not only violate Iranians' right to access information, it would also severely hamper business operations in the country. And because many of them are reliant on foreign tools, services, technologies, et cetera, for their operations. So this bill is very controversial among businesses in Iran. It will scrutinize everything, but guess what's coming up in August? President-elect Ibrahim Raisi will take office. He has played a central role in egregious human rights violations for decades, and he has also demonstrated consistent support for repressive and unlawful measures. So he is a big supporter of this bill. He is huge in this area. And the Center for Human Rights, the director said this in conclusion in this article, while Iranians are taking to the streets and risking their lives against violent security forces to demand their rights, including access to water, political freedom, and free speech, the Iranian government is working harder, even harder, to deny their human rights. This is awfully egregious. I don't know the future of this bill, but with the president, the new president taking reins this month, it will be interesting to see how he gets behind this bill and pushes for passage of this bill. You know, he's handpicked by the Supreme Leader, so he's got to be in favor of this bill, or it would not go well for him. Now, talking about restriction, oppression, no freedom, I want to read to you a story from Forbes magazine written by Steve Bolton. He's a senior contributor for the Arts X section of the newspaper, Forbes, online political website. I want to talk to you this morning also about Mehdi Rajabian. Mehdi's story has been in both of our books, Dear God, Please Bring Freedom to Iran, and Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. He is a superb musician, but he's also a producer. He recently produced a groundbreaking album project called Middle Eastern, featuring artists from all over the Middle East collaborating on this project to produce human rights music. It's a beautiful album. Well, Mehdi loves to produce, but he is being constantly under surveillance in Iran. He's being held hostage in Iran, but he continues to write and produce. And he recently is finishing up on a new album called Coup of Gods. And I want you to hear from Mehdi. I want to read exactly what Mehdi said in this article in Forbes written by Steve Bolton. And he's talking about this new project. He's a musician, and you understand already, if you're Iranian, how musicians are treated in Iran. The arts are oppressed. There is no freedom of expression. And Mehdi, of course, is used to this kind of treatment because he's been in prison before for his music. So I want to read to you what he says about his new project. It's eye-opening. Besides the political, the philosophical gist of this album, either from a musical point of view or fighting for freedom, it's taking a big step. We are proving, Mehdi says, that no power can stop making music, even if it is, means my life or going back to jail. He's not going to stop, he's saying. Unfortunately, after all the complications through making music, we'll also have to wait for the consequences. What will happen next? Am I going to jail again? In Iran, none of the musicians or studio owners could work for me due to me being banned. And this is one of the complications I faced during music production. It took me more than 9 months in an old underground room connected with musicians from all over the world with a low-speed internet connection to finish this album. With all these, I still made it to work with a major orchestra from Brazil, two female singers from the U.S., and musicians from West and Middle East to get this album done. With all these risks, these musicians stood by me so I can have some motivation for making music. A few months back, I was arrested by the Iranian regime for this album. Handcuffed in court, they asked to seize the project and stop making music. Therefore, I stated to the judge, here's what Mehdi says. I said to the judge, if this means I'm going back to jail, I'll get my work done. Although I've experienced 2 years in prison, 3 months in solitary confinement, and 40 days of a hunger strike, and I still have a suspended sentence of 3 years in prison, which they can operate at all time, it might seem strange, but as a punishment, Iran regime made me cellmates with Somalian pirates so I would get insulted and I'd get harmed. In contrary, they became my best friends, writing me poems, discussing Somalian music for hours, performing their music for me. Music became our common language, but with all the pressures I went and am going through, today I finished this album. I delivered a message of musical freedom along with an elegant album, an album titled Coup of Gods. Maybe it prophesies a coup on a specific day or a specific time. My opinion is that an artist must be a protester through all his or her body, and his and her work must be fruitful and artistic. With all the complications in front of me, the album came out really, really strong. In Iran, women can't sing. It's prohibited. Even I got arrested a few months back for finishing an album which featured female voices. Prison and prohibition have caused Iranian artists to be afraid to be in my album. And I say they are right. That's why I asked two female singers from the United States to be by my side, and they surprisingly implemented exactly what I had in mind. I was able to remove accent, location, and time from my album. The way it's adjusted, you can't find any geographical location for this album. We crafted a new color in this album. Instruments that have an Eastern color with an orchestra that has a Western color. This musical communication was successfully made. The album was mixed and mastered by Harvey Mason Jr. and will be published by Hundrup, so the audience can reach the album this way. Harvey is a truly great artist and helped me get this album done. I hope my voice will be heard all over the world. Today, I lost everything I had. No healthy soul and no healthy body. Humans must never experience two things in their lives. One, solitary confinement. Two, hunger strike. In the first one, your soul dies. And in the second one, soul and body both die. Well, Mehdi is saying he's been there. He's gone through this. He says, today, I have no soul and no body. Yes, I must stress once more, I lost everything I had. My musical company was seized. My office was barred. I got banned from studying and leaving the country. And I was in hunger strike for 40 days, which caused me to lose 15 kg of my weight and my stomach bleeding. My friend and cellmate died during his hunger strike. And this could happen to me too. But today I'm alive, so I must make music, because the only hope I have now is this, making music. Coup of God's album has been completed with all of these difficulties, bans, years of imprisonment, solitary confinement, hunger strike, torture, house arrest. I hope the album will receive serious attention this year at the Grammy Academy. Certainly the voice of the ban on freedom of music will be heard by the world, that no power can stop the freedom of music. My music company, Barge Music, was banned and confiscated for supporting the singing of women and artists. The company has been operating for more than 6 years and was the most visited independent Iranian company. Then the confiscation of my company was stopped. Mehdi is an amazing musician. He is a survivor. He is a producer. He is an artist, a very gifted artist. And he is saying to the world, despite all of my afflictions, but despite everything that's been against me, I refused to stop making music, because this is how I protest. This is how I peacefully protest against the system. I make the music that they hate and they ban. I put the voices in that they don't like, and I refuse to stop making music. He is such a courageous man. It's such an honor to be his friend and to be his voice. I can't wait to hear this album. Middle Eastern was great. I'm sure this one is going to be even better and even more special. This is a man who actually has lost everything. He can't leave the country. He can't receive royalties. I hope and pray that the United States, the Grammy Award, recognizes this man and his talent. He is producing quality music under oppressive circumstances. I want to take a break right now. I want us to hear a song from Christian artist Wayne Watson. We're talking about freedom this morning, but I have a very important twist about the subject of freedom that you have to listen to. But first, let's listen to this song. It's called Freedom, Wayne Watson.
Kiss the free ground, leave your dark shadows behind. What will you do?
powerful music with a powerful message by Christian artist Wayne Watson. I'm reading from my book, Shout Freedom, The Desperate Cry of Iranians. What we're talking about today is very simple. I started the program out from a quote from Braveheart. It's all about freedom. The name of this article is Freedom Without Jesus is Just Another Wall. Back on June 12, 1987, President Ronald Reagan gave a powerful and memorable challenge to the Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev as he proudly stood in front of the Berlin Wall to a cheering crowd, quote, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." 2 years later, on November 9, 1989, Reagan's challenge became a reality. The concrete barrier of the Cold War that had separated communist East Berlin and the West collapsed as thousands of people in mass droves crossed to the other side in jubilant celebration. Communism had finally collapsed and freedom had arrived. There would no longer be a death strip between the East and the West. No more machine guns, no more guard dogs. Although it would take another 2 years before the complete physical demolition of the wall was complete, the celebration had begun. Communism was now a reality. Freedom. This powerful seven-letter word has been the passionate driving force in the hearts of humanity for thousands of years. It's caused the death of millions of people fleeing oppression. This seven-letter word is one of the most precious words in the English language. Think about that for a second. One of the most powerful words on the lips of those giving their lives to be free from dictatorship governments. Christian artist Wayne Watson, reflecting on the historical fall of the Berlin Wall, we just heard the song, composed a thought-provoking song on the subject of freedom. And this causes us to think deeply about what true liberty really is. The chorus of the song gets right to the point about what Wayne believes true freedom really is. Quote, "Freedom, people cry for freedom, but freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Oh, freedom, give the people freedom, but give the people Jesus, or they've got nothing at all." Wayne is challenging us to think about what true freedom really is. Millions of people celebrated the destruction of a physical wall that tore down the barriers of an oppressive political philosophy that had kept them in bondage for many years. Humanity was no longer bound by the chains of a dictatorship that had enslaved them to a government ruling their lives from the cradle to the grave. Now people were finally free to believe and think for themselves. Surely, that is what true freedom is all about, right? Well, just a moment. 2,000 years before the historic collapse of the Berlin Wall, another powerful and life-changing speech was given to a mass of people. Jesus stood before his disciples and a crowd of religious leaders and made an astonishing proclamation. He declared, quote, "And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Well, Jesus also taught about freedom and the impact it would have on our lives. However, we need to look closely at the kind of freedom that he was speaking about. Back to context. Jesus said to the people who believed in him, "You are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." "But we are descendants of Abraham," they said. "We have never been slaves of anyone. What do you mean you will be set free?" Now, these are the religious leaders. Jesus said, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We've heard that quoted so many times, right? Well, the context is important. The religious leaders said, "Look, we belong to Abraham's race. We've never been slaves to anyone. What do you mean you will know the truth and be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave of sin. A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the son sets you free, you are truly free. Notice carefully the reaction of the religious leaders. In Jewish heritage, being a part of the great patriarchal family of Abraham, that conferred a very special status on them as individuals. The religious leaders were astonished at what Jesus had just told them. Being in the family of Abraham gave them great dignity and value. How can Jesus dare to question that heritage? They already believed they were truly free. There was no corruption and bondage to break free from. However, Jesus points directly at the heart of their problem, which is also our problem, slavery to sin. The Pharisees and the scribes looked pure and clean on the outside. They loved to boast about their own righteousness, their own spirituality. In their eyes, they were perfectly obedient to God's law, and they constantly looked down on the masses of other people. The outward image of true freedom can be very deceptive. The image of freedom was celebrated on a fall day in November when the Berlin Wall collapsed. We all witnessed that. It was a great event, right? But as Wayne Watson aptly points out in his song, freedom without Jesus is just another wall. The physical wall had been demolished, but there is another wall, the wall within our souls that is still holding humanity in bondage. That bondage is the death grip of sin. The human heart is in the death grip of sin until it's set free and the chains are broken by the power of Christ. Physical freedom is not enough. We all rejoice in that, and that's a good thing. Humanity can celebrate freedom from oppressive governments, and that's good. When they fall, that's all good. But listen, freedom without Jesus is just another wall. Why? Jesus offers us a freedom that no government of the world can ever give to us. It is a freedom that breaks the power and corruption and sin in our hearts. It is a freedom that opens our eyes to what it means to have a living and vibrant relationship with the God of the universe. It is a freedom that allows us to dream big and experience a true life of joy beyond anything we can imagine or think. Now, as a Christian author and a human rights activist for Iranians, I have a passion to be a voice for their freedom. It is my pleasure to fight for their human rights and to write books to bring awareness to the world about their plight for freedom and justice. However, I have a very important responsibility to make sure that I also persuade them of a freedom that transcends the oppression of physical governments. The gospel is the true freedom that every Iranian needs. It is the power of the gospel that breaks the chains of sin and liberates us from the inward corruption that is keeping us in bondage. And here's my affirmation. I will never stop speaking out for my Iranian friends, just as I've done this morning. I will always email government leaders and be a voice of political prisoners that are in bondage in Iran, those on death row that are demanding their freedom. All of this is good and absolutely necessary. Balance out my passion with the truth of God's word. Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. This is the true freedom that humanity needs. We can never be truly free until the walls of sin are torn down in our hearts. I think that there is nothing more important than communicating that verse of Scripture. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The truth about your condition, the truth about the situation you're in, and when you know the Son of God, you know the truth, and the truth has set you free. You can break free from the bondage of sin when you come to Christ and bow at his feet, confess him as Lord and Savior. That's the freedom that God wants to give ultimately to every Iranian. Certainly he is interested in their physical oppression. He fights for those that have no voice. He brings freedom to those that have no voice. That is very important to him. But at the core of everything he's doing it to get to a greater need that every Iranian needs, and that is the need for salvation. There is the freedom that every Iranian genuinely needs. The physical walls can all be torn down. Let's say tomorrow, by some amazing incident, that the government in Iran collapsed and democracy came to Iran, all of us would be celebrating. We would be rejoicing. They can walk down the streets of Tehran without fear. All of us would be ecstatic and happy. And that's important. And I live for that day when that will happen. But the most important thing that can happen is the freedom on the inside of an individual, the freedom a person can experience that has been in bondage, has been a slave to the chains of sin in his or her life. That is the true freedom that Christ comes to bring, not just the destruction of the physical walls, the prisons, and all of the things that have oppressed Iranians. As important as that is, Jesus wants to free them internally. When you have Christ reigning in your heart, you have the true freedom that God longs to give you, that God desires to give you. And what I can imagine is this, not only a physically free Iran, but a spiritually free Iran. That is the day I look forward to. And as I speak, there are thousands and perhaps millions of courageous Iranians meeting secretly behind the walls of a home to worship Christ because they have found the hope and the freedom they've been looking for, and they risk their lives every day in small house group gatherings to get excited and to praise their Lord and Savior Jesus. They are the fastest growing underground church in the world. Now, they have found true freedom. They have found the freedom that God has predestined them to experience, the true freedom that breaks them free from the chains of false religion and breaks them free from the chains of inward corruption, and gives them a joy, a purpose, and a freedom, and a new life they can hardly imagine. But it's true freedom. And that's why the Iranian Underground Church bravely proclaims their truth. They don't keep it in. They don't hide it. They are willing to go out on the streets and say, Jesus is Lord in Iran. That will get you the death sentence very quickly. But these men and women meeting in the secret underground church are willing to take a stand for Christ. Why? Because Christ brings true freedom. Jesus says, come to me, you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I will give you rest. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever believes on me will never hunger. Whoever believes on me will never thirst again. He is the satisfaction that they have been looking for. Jesus gives them purpose and freedom beyond anything that any of us can imagine or think. And so today, while I have been speaking out about the oppression of the government against the internet, and while I have been speaking out against the oppression and the hostage taking of Iranian artist Mehdi Rajabian, and I will continue to speak out for them, there is this freedom that I want them to know more than any freedom that they are fighting for. It's the freedom of worship, the freedom of what salvation brings. It is a new life. It is a new reality. I can tell you after 45 years, and I think back to the day I gave my heart to Jesus, I have never forgotten how that changed my life forever and continues to change it to this very day. So it's possible to break down the walls of the prison. It's possible to break down the walls of a government that shuts you down every time you speak out. It's possible to have all of that removed and still not be free. But he who the Son sets free is free indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, Jesus proclaims. You can know this freedom. All you have to do is cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose again. I confess you as my Lord and my Savior. Come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. It's that simple and that profound. I want to thank you today for meeting with me on the cross in the desert. Please continue to be a voice with me for the Iranian people, with the internet, and with the oppression they're going through. And please continue to pray for their true salvation, for their true freedom. I want you to have a great week. I will see you again on Thursday on the cross in the desert.